We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Steve Stone, White Sox TV analyst.
And the pitcher, a 12-game winner already this year, Steve Stone.
Former American League Cy Young Award winner. Over four decades of excellence in the booth. No one breaks down baseball like Stoney.
Well, Lloyd doesn't have a stroke yet, but he only needs one at bat to come to him. Like that.
Oh, Eloy Jimenez! Welcome back! Hi, Mom! See you later, 5-3!
It's Eloy's night anyway, and you figured he was going to get good pitch to hit. He got a slider up, and I mean, he hit the daylights out of that.
Steve Stone with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Welcome back, Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Time now to go out to our guest hotline presented by Circa Resort Casino in Las Vegas. Circa Resort Casino, home of the world's largest sports book. That's where we find the Score's baseball expert from NBC Sports Chicago, Steve Stone. Good morning, Steve. How are you?
Good, David. How are you? You're flying solo today, so hold down the ship.
Trying to. Mully back tomorrow. Looking forward to that. It's opening day, Steve. Everybody is in a good mood, at least baseball fans, because everybody's unbeaten and hope is in the air. You know how that feels. You've done a lot of these. In terms of the White Sox, let's look at this season because we're tired of looking back at last season. To you, what was the most obvious thing about spring training under Pedro Grifol?
I think the organization that he and his coaches brought to each and every day was a very good thing. I know they had a relatively full spring training with the exception of the guys that went to the World Baseball Classic, but they worked on fundamentals quite a bit. And if there was a mistake made in the game, they addressed it the next day. I thought that was pretty good. So, finally the team got together after the Classic was over, and right now, we didn't get a chance to see the fully assembled team too often in spring training, so it's pretty hard to evaluate them. But there's a couple things that that come into play today. Number one, and here's a fact for you, Houston has won 10 consecutive season openers. That's a major league record. It shares with the 1887 through 1896 Boston Bean Eaters. Now, if you're familiar with the Bean Eaters, they were pretty good for 10 straight years. So that's quite an accomplishment for the Astros. And then you factor in a couple of other things, and this is one thing that that Dylan Cease has got to put out of his mind. He never has had a whole lot of success with these Astros. I think the ERA is up over 6. He's 0-3 lifetime against them. So for him, this will be quite a challenge. He's coming off a great year last year. Second in the Cy Young Award voting. He deserved it. He was absolutely a wonderful pitcher, 220 or so ERA, something along those lines. And he's facing a pretty tough customer in Framber Valdez, who's got a wonderful curveball. We'll see if it takes him a while to get it over the plate. But my suggestion to the boys is try to jump on him early, because being a curveball pitcher myself, I know the curveball gets better as you move along. I think those first couple of innings, they got a chance to hit the curveball. And for a right-handed hitter, a left-handed curveball in this park with the very comfortable Crawford boxes in left field is not a difficult thing to hit a home run.
Steve, you mentioned Cease, and I want to get your opinion. I feel pretty good about Cease and Lynn at the top of the rotation. Lucas Giolito in a contract year, the expectation would be that he's going to have a good one, especially given his trimmed-down body again, looking more like himself. My concern lies in the back end of the rotation. Mike Clevinger, after dealing with whatever distractions, he really wasn't that good in spring training. Michael Kopech seemed, from the outside looking in, you were there, you can help us understand this better, to struggle a little bit with the tempo because of the pitch clock. My confidence is much less robust, I guess, at about the back end of the rotation than the front with the White Sox, and that right now is a bit of a concern.
Well, I think anybody who evaluates pitchers in Arizona in spring training is on a fool's errand because the breaking ball doesn't break near as sharply. It's rock hard infield. It's very high sky. Ground balls that will be caught during the season are not caught in spring training, and so guys get in a whole lot more trouble than they normally would get in. I kind of throw out what happens every spring to pitchers, not necessarily in Florida, but certainly in Arizona. Most difficult place to evaluate a pitcher. Conversely, it's also difficult to evaluate hitters because they're not facing these guys at the top of their game. The spin, because of the lack of humidity, it's not all that tight. You can't really throw great curveballs and great sliders as well as that backspin fastball in spring training because, again, there's no humidity for the seams to hold on to. So I do believe that we're going to see what these guys can do when the season starts. I'm not all that worried about the starting rotation. The only thing gives me cause for concern would be the back end of the bullpen and just exactly how they're going to deal with that. And I think there's a few teams in that same situation. I know that the New York Mets, who some thought not necessarily a shoe-in to win because the Atlanta Braves have the lowest odds to actually win the World Series coming out of the or get to the World Series coming out of the National League. But the loss of Edwin Diaz is a huge loss for them. They're going to do the same thing that the Sox are going to do. They're going to go and mix and match and not necessarily entirely a bullpen by committee, but they'll go with matchups and they'll try to make do until he comes back. And maybe one of the most encouraging signs, David, is that the Sox did not put Liam Hendricks on the 60-day injured list. They kept him off that thinking that perhaps through perseverance, just a great deal of strength and, you know, some luck to go with it, that Liam will be back sometime in May. I know that's very optimistic, but if that's the case, the Sox will then fill a hole that causes me concern.
Steve, that was great news. That was a tremendous update by Rick Hahn talking about the progress that Liam Hendricks has made for undergoing treatment for non-Hodgkin's lymphoma and the expectation being that it could be May, perhaps June, conservatively, but he's not on the 60-day DL or IL because they have that hope. And I think that's as good of news as you could have hoped for yesterday. Until he returns, Steve, when you look at the back end of the bullpen, I wonder who you expect to emerge. If you don't want to judge results in spring, I understand that. Aaron Bummer did return, though, so he could be presumably healthy. Ronaldo Lopez is somebody that could seize that opportunity. And I wonder about a sleeper candidate. A guy like Santos maybe is somebody, is he worth considering? There's going to be a committee. Who do you think will emerge from that committee?
I don't really know because I don't know how long they're going to be able to turn anything over to that guy before Liam returns. But you mentioned three of the candidates that are going to be there, and depending on who's coming up, I mean, you're facing three left-hand hitters. You're probably not going to throw Santos in the eighth inning against three left-hand hitters. You're probably going to go to Bummer. And so it depends on who's coming up, where they are in the order, how dangerous they're going to be, and then who's throwing the ball better than anybody else. And Santos in spring training was very impressive, by the way. I thought he threw it really well. And, you know, maybe it's time for Ronaldo Lopez to assume that partial role, not the entire role, but he threw very well last year. If he can come close enough this year to approximate what he did last year, he'll be very valuable at the back end. So, again, I don't know exactly who it's going to be. I just know that situations will dictate who Pedro goes to, and Ethan Katz will certainly have a hand in that.
Talking with Steve Stone here on The Score. It's the Mullin Haas Show. Steve, what was your reaction when you found out Lurie Garcia would not be on the opening day roster? And what, if any, statement did that make?
Well, I guess the statement it makes is you can only ground out to second base so many times before they start to give away your job. That's probably the greatest statement it made. And the fact is that, you know, there's two more years in that contract for $5 million a year. But they were determined to go with the guys they felt could help them right now and not necessarily help them in the past or what they think might happen down the road. And with that in mind, you know, Romy hit the ball very well in the spring. And so, yeah, it was kind of surprising, certainly. I mean, Leary was the longest tenured of the White Sox players. But the last couple of years, he has not been the same for whatever reason. He's gotten hurt a few times. He doesn't get a whole lot of lift on the ball. He can play a lot of different positions, but they feel they have some guys who can do that. And so, you know, I think that was a tough decision. There's a lot of tough decisions for all of these teams as they get down to the, you know, the roster spots 24, 25, and 26. They have to figure out who they want in that bullpen. They have to figure out just exactly what the guys they're keeping on the roster can do for them. Can some play the infield and outfield? Can some play all four positions in the infield? And there's a lot of considerations. That and the fact that Rule 5 players, if they don't make the team, you have to offer them back to the organization you got them from. That's number one. Number two, do they have options left? I mean, Jake Berger is one of those guys that had options left. When you do, you become one of the most likely to go down because you can go down and they don't lose you. And so those are, you know, those are some of the considerations. They're not easy decisions, but it becomes a numbers game. And, you know, some of the guys get caught up in those numbers games.
The Sox have Andrew Benintendi and Oscar Colas as the corner outfielders. They added Elvis Andrus back at second base. He plays shortstop or did for the predominance of his entire MLB career. Andrew Vaughn at first base. Steve, when you look at the changes the Sox have made personnel-wise, how much better are they defensively this year than last season?
I think considerably. I think the outfield is going to be much better, and it wasn't the fault of Gavin Sheets or Andrew Vaughn. It's just that their first baseman trying to play the outfield. And believe me, both worked very hard. Both gave it everything that they had to make themselves as good as they could be. But when you're a first baseman playing the outfield, you're just not going to be that good. Otherwise, you'd play the outfield. So I think moving Andrew back is going to take a lot of pressure off him emotionally. It's going to let him concentrate on just his hitting. I think he's going to be a prolific run producer. I look for anywhere from 25 to 30 home runs and 100 driven in from him this year. Numbers, I think, that will eclipse what Jose Abreu did by a wide margin last year. And this isn't to denigrate Jose because the Sox loved him. I mean, he was here 9 years. He was outstanding. He worked as hard as anybody in baseball, and you can't really, and I won't say a bad word about him. Will his numbers fall out? Maybe he'll be rejuvenated playing in Houston, a good team where he doesn't have to be the man. He has to be a man. And if you pull the ball here, we talked about those Crawford boxes, very easy to reach for a right-hand hitter. So I think Jose will have a rejuvenated year, but I think it's time to find out for the Sox. In fact, I know it is. Just exactly how good Andrew Vaughn is going to be. You know, when you're the third pick in the first round, you win the Golden Spikes Award at the University of Cal Berkeley. Number one, the thing that jumps out at you is they don't give degrees away at Cal Berkeley. To get in, you got to be really smart, and Andrew is one of those guys. But also, as the number one player coming out of that college draft, he can really hit. And it's time to see just how well he can hit.
I want to see how well Oscar Colas can hit too, Steve. I want to see a lot of Oscar Colas. I think that spring training, or at least opening day, you're prone to exaggerations. So, but I think Oscar Colas could make a run at Rookie of the Year. That's provided he, you know, makes the adjustment and plays against maybe lefties more than maybe people think he will play against lefties. What's reasonable to expect from Oscar Colas, and what did you like in spring training?
Well, I like the fact that he came out hitting everything in sight. I think he did make some improvement defensively in running the bases, which was a cause for concern for the Sox. They knew that he could swing the bat. He's got power. He can take the ball to all fields and hit it out of the ballpark. I don't want to see him thrown to the wolves against some of the real tough left-handers right away. I mean, the difficult job tonight, when you consider him going against Framber Valdez, and I don't know if he's going to start. I haven't seen the lineup. But that's a tough assignment for any left-hander, let alone one who's just starting. So I liked a whole lot of what I saw. He does give the Sox what they need, a left-handed power bat. And there's more balance in this lineup than there has been of recent vintage. This was a team always taken advantage of by good right-handed slider ball guys because the preponderance of this lineup was right-handed. And you kept facing right-hander after right-hander. When you get a guy with a good slider or curveball and he gets a release point because he's facing seven right-handers and a couple who really didn't make much of a difference. I mean, with the injuries to Grandal, with the injuries to Moncada, there wasn't a lot of left-handed presence in that lineup, but I think there will be now. That will make it more difficult for right-handers with a good curve or slider to dominate this lineup on a daily basis. So I really like the balance. Oscar is going to be a big part of that. The rejuvenation of Grandal, if he swings the bat the way I think that he should, because this is the last year of his contract, so there's a lot of incentive in that option year. And the addition of Benintendi, who didn't look like he was going to have a breakout year in spring training, but again, I don't judge spring training. I know he's a very solid player. I know he's a consistent player, and I look for pretty good things from him also.
How do you expect the pitch clock to affect Michael Kopech's consistency, if it will at all?
I think the pitch clock will be an advantage to all pitchers. I think they'll get their rhythm. I think once they get their rhythm, they'll keep their rhythm. Look, it's an adjustment. There's no doubt about it. But I do believe that you can make the pitch clock work for you. You know, I had this conversation with Kenny Williams on that final day. We were sitting there watching the Sox play the Cubs, and I was in the booth with Kenny. And he said, what do you think about a pitcher maybe making eight or nine pitches in a row as far as the tempo is concerned, and maybe he loses some strength, maybe he loses his mechanics or his release point, it's hard to get it back. I think we're going to see some people experimenting with the pitch clock. For instance, I try to use every advantage I possibly could. And if I had a pitch clock like they have today, maybe four, five, six pitches, whatever the case may be, and I felt that I needed to slow it down. I got an 0-2 count on a hitter. I'll take a ball. I'll wait the 15 seconds. I'll just stare into your eyes as a hitter, and I'll try to communicate to you that you have no chance in this at bat. And then I'll see the umpire call ball one. Well, now I'm 1-2. I'm not that worried about it. At 1-2, I'm still going to try to wipe you out. And also, I've got 30 seconds now between pitches. I can do whatever I want to. So nobody's talked about that, but personally, I would do that. And I think some of these pitchers who have a pretty good idea about how to manipulate that pitch clock are going to do it. And another situation, David, is if you happen to step out of the box, that's the one-hitter disengagement. So you've got 20 seconds with the runner at first base, and you're the hitter, and you step out of the box. I know you can't step out of the box again. So I want you up there with 8 seconds to go. I'm going to be in my stretch watching you, and I'm going to let your arms tighten up as you can't leave the batter's box, and you have to grab the bat. And while your arms tighten up at the two-second mark, I'm going to deliver the ball, and that's to your disadvantage. So there's going to be a lot of gamesmanship by some of the smarter pitchers as they use that pitch clock. I think it's a strategy that most pitchers will use. I anxiously await who's going to come up and take that one ball in a situation where he needs more time.
Steve, you've been part of a lot of opening days, and we've been fortunate that you've been a lot of opening days here in Chicago for both the Cubs and the White Sox. When you look back and reflect, and you have the opening day, you know, pomp and circumstance, what memories come to mind? Does one or two stand out in your mind, whether it was as a player or a broadcaster, that opening day remains special to you?
I always loved opening day because it's the start of a new baseball season. Nobody has any losses yet. You hopefully come out of spring training healthy, and the Sox came out of this spring training very healthy this year. In fact, Pedro was commenting on it. He can't remember a spring where just about every one of the mainstays came through healthy and you could use them opening day. So that's a plus. I remember starting for the White Sox in 1978. I led their staff in victories in 77 with 15. That was a Southside hitman who hit the ball great but couldn't catch it. So my ERA was a little bit higher than I would have liked. However, I did start in 78, and I believe I started against the Red Sox. We happened to win that game, although I didn't get the victory, but I considered it something that was really interesting. And then one more start that I got on opening day was after I won the Cy Young Award. And I brought my parents into Baltimore because I was going to start against Kansas City that day. And so my dad was down on the field, and he was actually in the dugout with Earl Weaver. And Kansas City's coming to bat, and Earl Weaver in that gravelly voice says, "You see that guy over there?" My dad says, "Yeah." He says, "That number five, that guy." He says, "Yeah." He says, "You know who that guy is?" And my dad says, "No, who's that guy?" He says, "That guy's George Brett, sitting 480 against your kid. You think your kid can get him out today?" My dad, he had no idea if I was going to get him out that day. Anyway, George wound up hitting a home run, and I wound up winning the game 5-2, so it was a good trade-off. But nobody could get George out too often, so I joined a very large club with one of the great hitters of our game.
Great memories, Steve. Great talking to you, and hope you have a great season. Looking forward to talking to you along the way.
Well, David, we'll be talking a lot during the season. I hope we have some very happy things to talk about. And as long as this team stays healthy, they're going to win some games because this offense is going to be pretty tough.
Enjoy Houston. Steve Stone.
Thank you.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s?
It's better over here.
Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.